This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. The Thanksgiving feast consumed, the millions of people who traveled for the holiday will be facing a definite change in the weather as they head home.
Already, over 8 inches of snow has fallen in parts of upstate New York, and we're going to see up to 10 inches stretching from New Hampshire, Vermont, into Maine through late tonight. All of that's going to wrap up overnight, but by tomorrow, we're going to start seeing that cold blast bringing very cold air across the warm Great Lakes. That's going to bring the lake effect snow machine into effect. So from upper Michigan all the way to western New York, we have lake effect snow warnings, winter storm warnings.
ABC News meteorologist Melissa Griffin. President Biden and the First Lady delivered Thanksgiving meals to firefighters and police on Nantucket Island. President-elect Trump took to his social media to, in his words, wish happy Thanksgiving to all, including to the radical left lunatics who've worked so hard to destroy our country. That's a quote. This is ABC News. High crime in Southern California.
It's a case that started in August when a business got a package it didn't recognize. Inside, there were psilocybin mushrooms. The investigation led Riverside County deputies to a home where a raid this month found a massive operation with buildings for cultivating, processing, storing, and shipping psychedelic mushrooms. Detectives found $3 million worth of mushrooms, a bunch of guns, some without serial numbers, a suppressor, and two ballistic vests. The 43-year-old homeowner is now under arrest on a list of charges. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Florida's Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission announced the recovery of 37 stolen gold coins valued at more than $1 million. The coins were part of a trove of 101 salvaged in 2015 from Spanish treasure ships that sank during a hurricane off Florida's central coast in 1715. 51 were reported correctly, but 50 were stolen. Now 37 have been recovered. Richard Cantu.
Max Inc. on Civic Media, live in the lair with Kaylin Cole.
Have you ever walked away from a karaoke performance thinking, yeah, that was a lot better than the original person?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know if I should admit that or not.
I think you should. Because now we know there's a song.
Jimmy's talking on it now.
I know. Oh, you're going to get me in trouble, Jimmy.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Trigvi Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project.
We as individuals need to be far better in terms of getting the tools we need to have the conversations. You're never going to shame someone out of their political beliefs.
Yes.
You're never going
yes.
to get yes. them with talking points.
You nailed it. And I think that's what some of our friends on the left don't get. And I think it's destructive and it's not beneficial.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
The Packers dominate the Dolphins. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers took advantage of the cold, the wind, and the snow and rolled over the Miami Dolphins in Green Bay last night. The final score 30-17. The Packers have now won 3 games in a row. Up next, a rematch with the Lions. Matt LaFleur.
You know, handling our business 2 games in 5 days, that feels really good. And we got a great challenge in front of us going to Detroit, the premier team in the National Football League. And we're going to have to play our best to have an opportunity to beat them.
Packers quarterback Jordan Love.
We're building a good thing on offense right now. We're getting in that rhythm, finding that groove, and just got to keep being consistent. We'll take it another week at a time, and we know who we got this week coming up is a really good Lions team, and obviously they got us the first game, so we'll look at everything, look at all the film, and just the rhythm we're finding in offense right now, the way the defense is playing, you know, I think we're in a good spot.
College football, the Badgers and Minnesota Gophers at Camp Randall Stadium today, playing for the rights for the Paul Bunyan Axe. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. It's been a long road for the live-action version of Snow White, but there is now a release date in sight. The Disney flick has been in development since 2016 and was supposed to be released in 2024. Greta Gerwig wrote the script for the film, which stars Rachel Zegler and Gal Gadot. Snow White will hit theaters March 21st of 2025. Hollywood is full of crazy stories, and actor Josh Brolin has a doozy he shared in his new memoir, From Under the Truck. Brolin tells the story of when he met acting legend Marlon Brando. Brolin attended a dinner at his stepmother Barbara Streisand's house, along with John Travolta and Kelly Preston. Brolin recalled that Brando showed up with a bleeding leg because he stopped to pull someone from a mudslide on the way to the party. Travolta, a well-known Scientologist, noticed and told Brando he had just gotten to the next level as a Scientologist and said he could heal him. Brolin recalled watching Danny Zuko heal the Godfather, one of the most surreal of his life. It was surreal just reading that. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Flurries ending. Cloudy skies to stay with us overnight as lows drop to the mid-teens. Blustery northwest winds up around 25. We'll take that wind chill down to around zero. On Friday, skies will turn sunny. Blustery winds, highs in the lower 20s. It's 21 at our studios.
Jane Mattner and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Matt Rothschild is going to be sitting in the big chair to break down all the news with analysis and humor. Don't miss it.
Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings at 10. News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome to Mattner on Air. Jane Mattner, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you from our studio at Radio Park here in Racine. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, Jane.
Happy Thanksgiving, Greg and Calvin, and to all of you. I hope you are enjoying your day so far. Mm-hmm. I know it's early, early-ish. If you've been cooking, if you're hosting today, you've probably been up for a while.
You may have made that trip to the grocery store before already. They close.
Already. We have a specially curated show for you today.
Yes.
We did pre-record this because we are off so we can be with our friends and family for Thanksgiving. But we have special segments.
Yes, we do.
Coming up over the next 2 hours. So I hope you will stick around for that. We will be your companions for this Thanksgiving Day morning as you get things ready around your house, or maybe you're hitting the road, maybe you're going over the river and through the woods.
Listen to us when one of your relatives is like, you know what's wrong with politics nowadays? You're like, can't, gotta listen to Matt and Aaron here right now.
Sorry, they're talking about something else. We wanted to talk a little bit about Thanksgiving food.
Yes.
People have very strong opinions about Thanksgiving food. I know, yeah, I do.
I know I do, that you dislike.
Because you're just a bad American.
Whatever, man. Not nice.
What is your thing with green bean casserole?
Well, first of all, it's creamed. Ha.
It's cream of mushroom soup.
I know, but green beans are terrible enough as it is. Then you throw another element on there. It's just not good. It doesn't taste good. There's something about it that's just fundamentally abhorrent.
Is it texture?
No, I'm not a texture guy. That never
that
really
doesn't bother you.
No, it never has. And I never understood that until later in life. Someone explained to me what, for them, eating clam chowder is like. And I'm like, that's awful. I would never want to feel like that, because those are two textures that go great together. So, yeah, it's just never been my jam.
That's all right.
No, apparently it's not, according to you. You called me un-American.
Well, that's, you know, we all have our flaws.
I see.
I love green bean casserole.
That's great. More for you.
That's one of the things Mom always made, with the French's onions on the top.
Yeah.
A little salt and pepper.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty easy.
Yep. Simple.
Got to be on the table for Thanksgiving. Otherwise, it is not Thanksgiving.
I am in no way, shape, or form Jane Mattner or Calvin, Sweet Calby, Dr. Slide, saying it shouldn't be on the table. I'm saying is that when it's passed across, I simply take it from the right. I pass it directly to the left.
You do not partake.
I do not partake, and I bless you and say good on you for eating a food that seems like it was created on a dare.
I accept that dare. I love that dare. What do you look forward to most?
Okay.
What food on Thanksgiving is the one thing it has to be on the table, or it's not Thanksgiving?
I would say for me, it has to be a tie between, well, dressing. For me, dressing is, I love a nice, sorry for those who this word.
I know exactly where you're going.
A juicy, I don't know, a moist dressing.
Yes.
One that you don't even have to put gravy on, I think. You put a little salt, a little pepper, maybe a little hot sauce for my jam. But I love dressing. In years recent, we have adopted a mac and cheese as part of the layout, and it is phenomenal. And I'm going to get an unpaid shout out right here. I'm not paid by this corporation at all. Festival Foods has the best mac and cheese that is like mass made, like, you know, there's wonderful mac and cheese at the restaurants, homemade, whatever, that I'm not discounting you. But when it comes to like a grocery store, Festival Foods mac and cheese is the creamiest, tastiest. It's just perfect. And it's going to be on our Thanksgiving table this year.
That has become part of our tradition.
Yeah.
One of my nieces likes to make it homemade.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's fabulous.
Yeah.
There's always room for mac and cheese.
There never shouldn't be mac and cheese.
Yeah. There should always be some form of mac and cheese.
What about you, Jane?
For me, it's the green bean casserole.
Okay.
For sure.
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily eat a lot of it, but if you don't have the cranberries with the can markings on it, that it's not officially Thanksgiving.
Can I tell you something, Jane?
Yes.
I totally agree.
Right?
When people are like, I made a homemade
cranberry relish.
It's like, where are the markings on the can? I want cranberry sauce that I can slice into.
Exactly.
You know?
Cranberry sauce to cut.
Tiny little hockey pucks of cranberry. One year, someone who was related to me made a cranberry chutney, and I was like, oh, no thanks. It just wasn't good.
I want to go back to the stuffing, and Calvin, I would like your take on this as well. I am very anti-fruit or nuts in my stuffing. It should just be bread. And my mother used to make it with the giblets.
Yes. Yeah.
Which I tried to recreate once, and it wasn't terrible, but it still wasn't like hers.
Yeah. Do you put the celery?
And the celery. Yep.
Calvin, what say you on dressing?
Typically I don't eat it. It's not that I necessarily don't like it, because I do like it if it's just bread, onions, and celery. I don't like anything extra in it. And my mom, like my dad, likes the kind with sausage in it, so she makes that to appease him sometimes. She likes to put other crap in it that I don't even remember.
Does she put like apples? Because I know some people will put apples in it or dried cranberries.
It's nothing like off the wall like that. I want to say like maybe mushrooms, but that sounds wrong.
See, I would totally, I'm with you, Jane, as far as keep it savory. Mm-hmm. I don't mind nuts, but it can't be everything in there. It can't be like, you know, oh my gosh, it's walnuts and some dressing. It's got to be like just an accent.
Just a titch.
A touch.
Just a scooch.
But what about sausage? What about a meat in the dressing?
I would say no.
You would say no.
I would be with you on that, Calvin. I like it very basic, very simple. And it's just that wonderful goodness of it. It doesn't need any fluffing.
Thank you. I think as long as it's savory, I'll go for it. But I would also agree, the simpler, the better. I think, you know, it's dressing. It's great. It's great the way it is.
It is. It is. We don't need to.
I'm really hungry.
We don't need to make more designer dressing.
Mm-hmm.
And in the time we have left, guys, pie preference. I am not a big pumpkin pie fan.
Okay.
I would go pecan any day.
And are you a pecan or a pecan?
I'm a pecan.
Pecan. Calvin, what about you?
I pretty much only like fruit pies.
So pumpkin?
No. Well, is a pumpkin a fruit?
Yes.
Well, technically maybe, but
no, it actually is.
I don't hate pumpkin pie. I'll eat it with lots of whipped cream, but I usually go for an apple pie, okay, or my grandma used to make me a peach pie.
Ooh.
See, peach pies, it's not my first choice, peach pies.
I would agree with you.
Not my jam. When it comes to the traditional fare of Thanksgiving, I would say sweet potato pie above pumpkin pie.
I have never had sweet potato
pie. It's super. And see, that's just that a lot of people don't. Not on a lot of tables, and then pumpkin. I just love pumpkin pie. I mean, I really only eat it at Thanksgiving.
It's a once a year thing.
Yeah, I don't get down on it like every week or every month or in like, oh, did you? I have had pumpkin cheesecake and that is amazing.
That sounds good.
We had that a couple of years ago and there's something different. There's a heft to that cake that is super tasty. So
I love a nice hefty cake. Well, we wrap up with pies.
Yeah.
But we start with the appetizers.
Okay. I'm not going to make light of addiction at all. I promise you. But my family, now not just my family, my blood relatives, but also my in-laws, we have a problem, Jane.
An app problem?
There is an app problem to the point where I've suggested one of two things. Either A, we have an all-app Thanksgiving.
I love that idea.
I do too. Cuts down on dishwashing, lots to give away,
yes,
to pass out for leftovers. Or we make a concerted effort that, all right, we're going to have three appetizers.
And that's it.
That's it. Because I'm not kidding you. The entire coffee table in my mother-in-law's house is covered in appetizers. There is homemade guacamole, a ranch dip, a hummus dip. There is cheese, crackers, sausage, shrimp and cocktail sauce.
Yeah.
So now a lot of you listening right now might be like, Greg, you can simply say no to that. And you are right. But I can't because it's so tasty. That's the problem with us. But do you have lots of apps for your Thanksgiving?
We have scaled down a lot.
Yeah.
Because we just don't eat the same way that we used to. That has made a difference.
Exactly.
And I would be the same because I love cheese and sausage.
Me too.
And sausage is not something that we ever have outside of the holidays. And yeah, if you eat 9 cheese and sausage crackers and then it's time for dinner, it's like, no, I'm good.
Yeah. The past couple of years, and I know this is on me, I take full responsibility, but the last couple of years I would get so hepped up on apps that I would have maybe a full plate of Thanksgiving dinner. And then I wouldn't be full, Jane. I would hurt.
That's a terrible way to feel.
Exactly. So I said we're kind of doing things differently this year. We're not gonna buy all the stuff from the supermarket as far as like pre-prepared. We would do with Whole Foods. We bought our turkey from a local Kenosha farm.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's great.
We're gonna bring the mac and cheese, and I think we're bringing the mashed potatoes, and everyone else is gonna bring a dish. And then we said apps are gonna be severely controlled.
Crack down on the apps.
Or they will not be, and everyone act like I said nothing to them.
Spuds, preferences?
Oh, I'm pro.
Always mashed? Scalloped?
Okay, so I'm always for the mashed. But if you want to come in with some scalloped or some au gratin, mother glory, I would have a potato Thanksgiving.
We could do that,
too. Oh, my God, starch a fest.
Calvin, preference on starch?
I mean, I like scalloped potatoes, but I think for Thanksgiving, it has to be mashed.
Must be mashed.
Must be mashed. Okay. All right.
Food rules.
Well, we've heard the gauntlet thrown down by Calvin. There must be mashed potatoes. Now I'm so hungry.
We have a specially curated Thanksgiving show for you. I hope you will stay with us as you are prepping in the kitchen. You are listening to Matt Nair on air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
What else to do about it?
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. you stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
James Rundy.
I decided to throw off all my wild and crazy short film ways and make a straight up documentary about my uncle. He was one of the small time dairy farmers across the state that were kind of the backbone and why we got our state's name, America's Dairyland.
It was called The Last Milk. Have you ever milked a cow?
Oh, yeah.
I'm curious, but I'm scared to do it because I'm worried I might like it.
All right. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
His name's Jeff Mandel, general counsel for Law Forward.
Mr. Gableman broke more ethics laws and rules than he followed. The attorney's oath here in Wisconsin is fairly long. Mr. Gableman had, in the course of the sham investigation into the 2020 election, violated every single sentence in that oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. It's Greg here, and you are listening to a best-of pre-recorded edition of Matt and Air on Air, a Thanksgiving edition, and we wish you a happy Thanksgiving with you, your friends, family, enjoying responsibly. And coming up right now, you're going to be listening to a discussion that Jane, Cal, and I had about a plan to save and refurbish the domes. Enjoy.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, and Sweet Gal B coming to you from our studio at Radio Park here in Racine. Speaking of Twitter, people are leaving that platform and going to another. I did yesterday.
Are you leaving Twitter?
I don't think I will leave it completely just because I still find it useful. But, we'll talk about that more after the 11:30 news.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I'm looking at the wrong part of the schedule.
If you are migrating over to another social media platform where the skies are blue, we'll be talking about that coming up after the 11:30 news. We did mention, though, that, yes, there is a plan, once again, to repair Milwaukee's Mitchell Park domes. This is from WPR, Evan Casey, with the story today. A $134 million plan to renovate the Mitchell Park domes. Just got a boost from the Milwaukee County Board of Supervisors. They unanimously approved a budget amendment last week to allocate $30 million that would renovate the domes and add amenities to the historic landmark. That still gives them a pretty big chunk of change they got to raise.
$101 million.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. And hopefully they will. The domes are an interesting topic for my friends. I personally love the domes. I think they're great. Yep. I think they should be renovated. I don't think they should be gotten rid of. I have friends, and they're not like penny-pinching fiscal conservative Republicans either. I have some of the most liberal friends like, get rid of them.
Tear them down.
And their anger always exceeds their point to make me think, oh, maybe you're coming with a good idea. They're just so mad about it. I don't understand truly. I think the Mitchell domes are amazing. And I'd love to see this refurbish go through, especially if you're talking about new amenities. Can you imagine what they would do? I've heard them say they would have it'd be like more smooth panel windows, like a kind of a refreshed design on them, along with other things, like maybe just like a I don't know, food court, a cool like food truck park.
While they're talking about expanding the gift shop,
yeah,
and doing some other things, and also for the grounds itself, because that's a big piece of property.
It's huge.
It really is. Yeah. I used to live in a flat right across the street from there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really, really large piece of property. So the Friends of the Domes in September presented their plan. It would add a new cafe, add a nature learning center, which is a great idea. I can't believe they haven't done that before now. An outdoor garden, expand the gift shop, and renovate nearby Mitchell Park.
Yes.
Which is, it's huge.
Mitchell Park is a park that we do not talk about a lot, I think, because it's on a weird part of the city. It's like off the free, like you see the domes and you're quote unquote so close to the lake. It's not one you think about. You don't think about Mitchell Park that much.
As a park.
Yeah.
Right. You associate the domes with it, but not necessarily all the parkland associated with it. Yeah. I just have a lot of fond childhood memories of the domes.
Yeah.
That was something we always did as a family. But again, I grew up in Hartford as a city of Milwaukee resident.
Yeah.
When's the last time I can't tell you the last time. Well, no, some girlfriends and I went last year.
See, there you go.
We did. It had been a long time since we'd been.
Jane Matt and Air, friend of the domes. You also can buy plants there. They have a plant shop.
I bet they have a great plant shop.
Last time I went there with some friends, my friend walked away with like five plants. Like little ones. You can take like succulents and whatnot. It's not like designer or boutique, but you can go there and buy plants. And that's good for the local economy.
Well, and they've hosted all kinds of great things, too. I went to a big train toy train exhibition.
I believe they do concerts there, too.
It was huge.
Yeah.
They used to do certainly weddings.
Yes.
I would imagine that's still a pretty big thing.
Very expensive.
Is it expensive?
Oh, yeah.
But again, they've been, the maintenance has been deferred for so long. Yeah. So many things in Milwaukee County.
Yeah.
Thank you, Scott Walker. And others.
Boom.
It's not just him, but there were others where nothing got fixed for decades and decades and decades.
Yeah. I mean, I've been hearing a plan to fix/save/destroy the domes for like a decade now.
Oh,
and then it went away. And I'm like, oh, I guess we're not doing anything with them now. So, I mean, if they can raise $101 million, I mean, there's a guy who bought a whole social media platform for a few billion. I'm sure he could.
I'm sure he's really concerned about things like that.
What are the inside of the domes? We could just make it look like Mars.
That could work.
Yes.
Actually, that could work. The Friends Group says it will fund the project through a combination of federal and state tax credits, a capital campaign, private donations, and federal and state grants. But getting the county support, again, that $30 million, was a key part of moving forward. We've heard from various entities they wouldn't be willing to go forth with this if they didn't have a county commitment.
No, you got to, I mean, unless you want to sell that part of the land off to someone private or to like a private equity group, which I don't suggest doing because they would just destroy it, you have to have municipal buy-in. You have to have the local government buying into it, or else you got nothing there. It's just not the same. The domes would look different if it was the, you know, Dan and Stan quality polling and taxidermy domes, you know, it would just look different.
Yeah, that would certainly change the makeup of the domes. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I would like to see them get saved. I would like to see them get utilized. And I would just encourage folks, if you do live in the area, go visit them.
If you got a niece or a nephew or a small kid or a grandkid, take them there. It's
especially as the weather gets colder.
Yeah. And it's also like, you know, it's a couple hours. And in Christmas time.
Yeah. Christmas is a great time to go to the domes.
Yes. Big fan of the domes.
All right. We're pushing for the domes.
We're pro domes.
Go domes. Go.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. We'll keep you posted on that. We have news coming up next. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast statewide, countrywide, potentially global Civic Media Radio Network.
Oh,
News from the Center, WRCE.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. The Thanksgiving feast consumed, the millions of people who traveled for the holiday will be facing a definite change in the weather as they head home.
Already, over 8 inches of snow has fallen in parts of upstate New York, and we're going to see up to 10 inches stretching from New Hampshire, Vermont, into Maine through late tonight. All of that's going to wrap up overnight. But by tomorrow, we're going to start seeing that cold blast bringing very cold air across the warm Great Lakes. That's going to bring the lake effect snow machine into effect. So from upper Michigan all the way to western New York, we have lake effect snow warnings, winter storm warnings.
ABC News meteorologist Melissa Griffin. President Biden and the First Lady delivered Thanksgiving meals to firefighters and police on Nantucket Island. President-elect Trump took to his social media to, in his words, wish happy Thanksgiving to all, including to the radical left lunatics who've worked so hard to destroy our country. That's a quote. This is ABC News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
The Packers dominate the Dolphins. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers took advantage of the cold, the wind, and the snow and rolled over the Miami Dolphins in Green Bay last night. The final score 30-17. The Packers have now won 3 games in a row. Up next, a rematch with the Lions. Matt LaFleur.
You know, handling our business, 2 games in 5 days, that feels really good. And we got a great challenge in front of us going to Detroit, the premier team in the National Football League. And we're going to have to play our best to have an opportunity to meet them.
Packers quarterback Jordan Love.
We're building a good thing on offense right now. We're getting in that rhythm, finding that groove, and just got to keep being consistent. We'll take it another week at a time, and we know who we got this week coming up is a really good Lions team, and obviously they got us the first game, so we'll look at everything, look at all the film, and just the rhythm we're finding in offense right now, the way the defense is playing, you know, I think we're in a good spot.
College football, the Badgers and Minnesota Gophers at Camp Randall Stadium today, playing for the rights for the Paul Bunyan Axe. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Well, Glickin' Weekend's box office haul turned out to be no match for that of Barbenheimer's, but it was still impressive and helped the holiday box office get off to a great start. As expected, Wicked landed in the top spot with a take of $114 million, more than doubling Gladiator 2's haul of $56 million at the gate. Gladiator 2, directed by Ridley Scott and starring Paul Mescal, Connie Nielsen, Denzel Washington, and Pedro Pascal, was never expected to be the top dog, as it was always Oppenheimer to Wicked's Barbie. Wicked slightly exceeded expectations with its box office haul, whereas Gladiator 2 came in just under its expectations. This is becoming a trend in Hollywood where two films coming out at the same time were not necessarily competing against each other, but help each other create a social media phenomenon. Landing in third place in week two of its release was Red One with $13 million. Rounding out the top five were Bonhoeffer, Pastor Spy Assassin, and the resilient Venom, The Last Dance, which came in fifth place with $4 million. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Flurries ending. Cloudy skies to stay with us overnight as lows drop to the mid-teens. Blustery northwest winds up around 25. We'll take that wind chill down to around zero. On Friday, skies will turn sunny, blustery winds, highs in the lower 20s. It's 21 at our studios.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Trevi Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project.
We as individuals need to be far better in terms of getting the tools we need to have the conversations. You're never going to shame someone out of their political beliefs.
Yes.
You're never going
yes.
to get yes. them with talking points.
You nailed it. And I think that that's what some of our friends on the left don't get. And I think it's destructive and it's not beneficial.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, it's all about comedy as I welcome Chicago comedian Pat McGann and host of MeTV's Tune In With Me, Bill Leff. And we get a sneak peek at a new show called Wabino Volunteer Fire.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. It's Greg here, and you are listening to a best of pre-recorded edition of Matt and Air on Air, a Thanksgiving edition, and we wish you a happy Thanksgiving with you, your friends, family, enjoying responsibly. And coming up right now, you're going to be listening to a discussion that Jane, Cal, and I had about people leaving Twitter for Blue Sky. Enjoy.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, and the Board Lord coming to you from our studio here at Park, a Radio Park in Racine. Coming up at the end of the show, we will wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing, Volatile Odor Edition.
Volatile Odor
Edition, yes. And thank you, Andrew, by the way. If you have a thing that should not be, send it in to Greg and me at Jane Says at civicmedia.us. JaneSays, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. Our friend Andrew from Maine sent us a great This Shouldn't Be a Thing. We'll do it tomorrow.
That's tomorrow. That's what I thought.
Yeah, okay. We'll do it tomorrow. Yeah, yep. So thank you for that, Andrew. And again, if you stumble over some article that you think would qualify for Tisbat, absolutely send it in.
Or anything.
Anything.
Anything you think we should be covering, people we should be talking to, stories, that kind of thing, you can email that, janesays@civicmedia.us.
Absolutely. Wanted to talk a little bit about this, and I'd love to hear from you if you have been migrating from Twitter. I saw a lot of people over the weekend saying, I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm done here. Elon did enough damage, and I don't want him to, I just don't want to be here. And so a lot of people that I follow have migrated over to Blue Sky.
Yeah. Yeah. I have seen that as well. Celebrities and non-celebrities alike,
there's a lot of historians that I follow and a lot of historians, some authors, news outlets, things like that, that I follow on Twitter. But if they're going to be on a different platform that is maybe moderated a little bit better, because Elon doesn't, nobody moderates anything on Twitter anymore. That's why there's so much hateful, horrible stuff going around.
Their algorithm is insanity.
Yeah. If you follow the For You, it's people you've never followed before, never heard of before. Yeah. It's just in the, how long has he owned it?
Less than a year, I think.
Is it less than
2 years? Calvin, do you know how long Elon's owned Twitter?
I want to say he bought it in 2022. I'll look it up.
Okay, yeah.
Because he's done an awful lot of damage. I thought it was longer than just a year.
Yeah, because when he first bought it, which, by the way, he didn't really want it, and then he put himself in a position where he had to buy it for $44
billion. Dollars,
when the
right.
whole thing was worth like $5 or $7 billion. Like, just, but don't forget. He rich.
But and he'll always be rich.
He'll always be rich. And it was fine, quote unquote, fine for a little while. And then as soon as Elon took over and got a little more into the business, all of a sudden these people who were banned, the Dan Bonginos and Andrew Tates and Donald Trumps, were all let back onto that site to spread their vitriolic anti-woman, anti-immigrant, anti-everything poison.
Yeah, at least from what I've seen on Blue Sky, and I just signed up yesterday. I just got on there yesterday. It certainly seems to be a gentler place to be, which I think a lot of folks are looking for. Yeah. Tiffany from River Falls, listening on WLAK in Amory.
Amory.
Tiffany says, I deactivated Facebook November 6th because I couldn't handle the negative attitudes of so many. It may be temporary. It may not. I still have Instagram, which I have much more selective, where I have a more selective friends list. Should I join Threads or another platform to help keep in touch with advocacy and action? What I found, Tiffany, when I went to Blue Sky yesterday was people are putting together starter packs for new people on Blue Sky. Mm. So they have a list of recommended people for you to follow.
That's great.
It really is great. And so a lot of the folks that I follow on Twitter, I'm finding now on Blue Sky.
I have to, I don't know what to, my social media, Facebook is fine. No one who, I don't want to say no one who disagrees with me isn't there, But people know who I am. So if I say something on there about my opinion, they just leave me alone because they know that I'm not going to handle them well on social media because I'm going to be honest with them. Right. I'll tell them yesterday I posted on Facebook. I said, if you believe your body, my choice is a mantra or even remotely funny, block me right now. I never want to see that on you. I will block you immediately. Period.
For folks who don't know what that is,
yeah,
this is going around. We can thank Nick Fuentes for this.
A admitted white supremacist.
Yes, admitted white supremacist said with Donald Trump's reelection that, hey, ladies, your body, my choice. Ha, 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 ha.
Yeah. And now they're saying it was a joke and Republicans saying that's disgusting. No, just own it. At least Nick Fuentes has the guts to say it out loud.
The one good response I saw to that was, if anybody says to me, your body, my choice, I'm going to say, your body, my freezer.
But Instagram is increasingly difficult because the stuff that's coming across my Instagram is not things. And then I get upset and I comment, and that's my fault. I know that. I know, but I can't help it. Some of them are so dumb. But I have also joined Blue Sky as well. And it's quieter.
It just feels gentler.
Yeah. It was started by Jack Dorsey, who was
started
Twitter as a decentralized social media platform. He wanted to connect all of them in some way to allow all the social media networks to exist on their own. But then Blue Sky would be like the connective tissue, I guess. I don't think it's really done that, but it's still a nice for it's a Threads. Good.
I tried Threads for a couple of days and I didn't like it.
I mean, honestly, at this point with those social media websites, I just go on there, I start an account. So I am Greg Bach is always taken by me. All of my social media, whether it's Snapchat, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, I am Greg Bach. But I went to Blue Sky and I just started scrolling. I'm like, this is it's almost like that the dawn of America. Doo, 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 little birds chirping around. Rice, saying, it's okay, Greg.
It's like being in a Disney movie.
Yeah.
Compared to Twitter. Calvin, have you started a different social media account?
I have Threads and I will say I haven't took any time to follow people or curate it and I don't ever check it, but in the off chance that I did, it's kind of a garbage platform.
Threads.
Yeah, it's not good. There's just every single post I see, okay, well, maybe like 4 in every 5 posts I see is a bot post.
Yep.
Or it's just a spam account, like phishing post. So yeah, I'd say maybe Zuck will fix it, but stay away from Threads for now.
I do not think he will. I think he started Threads to poke at Elon because when Threads happen, that's when that whole Elon's gonna fight Mark Zuckerberg in the ring and that's gonna be a thing and blah blah blah, and then he started Threads.
I forgot about that,
right? And then Threads comes along and there were all these aspects of the site that you couldn't do versus Twitter, and it just seems to be there, like, and it's like because it's connected to Facebook and Instagram and Threads, you can post on all three. And as Calvin said, same thing here. I check my Threads account maybe once a week. And when I do, and it actually comes through on my Instagram as well, I get bots. And they're just women who are like, hey, I'm single, want to talk? Like, it's not enjoyable. It's just not enjoyable there either.
Is there a male equivalent of that bot? Because they're avoiding me like the plague. Well, I'm just curious.
Now that you've said it out loud and your phone is listening to you, enjoy all the men going, hello, Jane, I'd like to spend sexy time with you.
Are you single?
Are you single, lady?
PJ on the live stream says Reddit is cool. I have never, ever been on Reddit.
I can't do Reddit.
No?
Reddit, no. It is too much. It's, forgive the sentence I'm about to say, but I refer to it as the place the internet went to throw up in. There's so much information there, and it seems impossible to navigate.
Calvin?
I am a big fan of Reddit. It's the front page of the internet, Greg. That's actually one of their tags. I don't know if they still use that tagline, but they used to use that tagline, the front page of the internet.
I knew that, Calvin. You know why? Because you said it like, Greg, it's the front page of the internet.
But yeah, Reddit is, I think it's a really, it's kind of something you have to curate because it's built on subreddits So like I'm in like subreddits for like a sci-fi reading subreddit, and then people make posts in that subreddit, and like you can see it if you're not in the subreddit, but if you're in the subreddit then it appears on your wall.
And that sounds really confusing.
And
you
if you move up higher, you become a Redditor. It's all about what kind of puns you can do on the word Reddit. Yeah, I will read a Reddit post if it's singularly posted somewhere, but I have never scrolled into Reddit because it just feels like the corn maze that has no end. And I just
there's no end to the thread.
No end to the thread. The front page keeps going. And I will say this right now, and I know I'm doing this for selfish reasons. I will never leave Twitter because there are celebrities who follow me, and it makes me feel very good about my. It makes me feel good about myself.
A little ego fluff is always good.
If Missy Elliott followed you on Twitter, you'd stay there too. We'd all stay there. She's amazing. She's a gift.
Andrew texting in. So can I find I am Greg Bach on MySpace?
No, unfortunately, my MySpace page is long gone. My top eight is decimated. I think about that often. MySpace, what a wonderful. I'm starting to sound like a dreamy Donald Trump. MySpace was the best space. It was the greatest place to be friends.
I didn't spend much time on that. I got really heavily invested in Facebook.
Well,
and then in 2019 was when I cut the ties with Zuckerberg.
Yeah, I mean it makes sense. Like
I don't miss it at all.
If you don't need social media, you should cut it out. Like I have to have social media to a certain extent.
Sure. Well, we all do actually because of what we do.
Yeah, and I just think that it's funny to me because right now, Calvin, it's safe to say that like the most popular social media website for the youngins, the Gen Zs and the Gen Ys, would be TikTok. Am I correct, Calvin?
Yes.
Okay. So to me,
more so than any other platform, it's TikTok for the younger folks.
Well, everything is just so. I would say every platform has a place. Well, I guess Facebook. My generation doesn't really use Facebook, but Instagram and TikTok kind of go hand in hand. Like most people use both because I don't know. Instagram's just kind of like, well, you post pictures and that kind of thing, and then TikTok's more of like. I don't know. Like, I guess TikTok's more of just like where you go to scroll.
Well, and that's
whereas Instagram's like where you go to like see what your friends are doing.
Instagram has their own version of TikTok, which is Reels. And when I tell people I look at Instagram Reels versus TikTok, people will say to me, it's because you're older. I don't know why that's a thing. I have TikTok. I'm on TikTok. But what I find really funny is that one day Calvin is going to be saying, he'll be in his 30s, just living his life. Painting Warhammer figurines, loving it. He'll say to someone younger and be like, hey, are you on TikTok? And then you go, no one's on TikTok anymore. we're on Fresh Skies or blah, blah. Yeah, something that's like way cooler.
The newest thing. The new cool kid thing.
All you have to do is jam this microchip in your eye and you're on the internet.
Scott from Shorewood, I'm still waiting for folks to find me on classmates.com.
Oh my God. I get emails from them and LinkedIn all the time. You know who's checking you out? I'm like, nobody.
Oh, that is really funny.
Scott from Shorewood, who made our
mascot.
Our mascot.
I know.
He is here.
He is here. Absolutely. He's in with us every single day.
Yep.
Thank we weren't going to leave him behind. We weren't going to leave him behind.
Putz-de-leon.
Well, and I'm just curious. Have you migrated away from a social media account since the election? Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
Usinger's has been making America's finest sausage for over 140 years. Now Usinger's fresh brats are flash frozen and vacuum packed so they stay butcher shop fresh for 6 months in your freezer. And because there's no air in the package, there's no need for chemical preservatives. Usinger's fresh brats are the freshest, most additive-free you will find. Enjoy some this summer with our other Great Link products. Our backpack sausage seals in flavor and leaves out chemicals. Remember, if it's got the elf on the label, you've got quality on your table.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Now, I've been reading up on the policies of all the presidential candidates with an eye on my wallet. And former President Trump has been talking up a new 20% tax on goods from other countries. It's called a tariff. I did some research, and it's not sounding good for the prices that we pay. A tariff is just a tax that the government charges to businesses when they bring goods into the country. And the National Retail Federation says that tariffs force small businesses to raise prices or just eat those costs. And typically, big corporations just pass those prices on to consumers. The Nonpartisan Tax Policy Center says that, quote, Trump's tariffs would significantly raise the prices of imported goods since they'd mostly be passed on to consumers. And I know prices are not rising like they were. I mean, hooray for that. But man, I still can't afford to pay 20% more for things. We will keep you posted on how this develops. In the meantime, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Harvey, I know you're the big FDR expert.
1934, he decided that the inequality and the wealth accumulated at the top was a threat not only to the American economy, but also to the American democratic spirit, American democratic life.
Sounds like history's repeating itself.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. It's Greg here, and you are listening to a best-of pre-recorded edition of Matt and Air on Air, a Thanksgiving edition, and we wish you a happy Thanksgiving with you, your friends, family, enjoying responsibly. And coming up right now, you're going to listen to an interview that we did with Civic Media's own Melissa Kay about the premiere of her brand-new show, Community Stories. Enjoy.
Good morning. Happy Friday. Welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, and Dr. Slide coming to you from our studio at our home at Radio Park here in Racine. She is our colleague at WFHR. Melissa Kay is here. Good morning, lady. How are you? I feel like I haven't seen you in ages.
It has been ages. Good morning, Jane. Well, always a pleasure to see you.
Well, thanks for making some time to join us. Tell us a little bit about Community Stories with Melissa Kay. This is something that just dropped on our website at civicmedia.us.
Yes, our new show kicked off this week. There's actually two shows. So Community Stories focuses on our general stories. We start with a veteran series. So you get to hear stories from our veterans in the area. And Jane, these stories are wonderful. There's so much, like, I just smile the entire time that I'm doing the editing, listening to these stories from our veterans, and then them talk passionately about the need for veterans to join veteran organizations. Because those, you know, even if they just join and come to one meeting or they show up on Zoom, those are names on the register for those organizations that Congress sees. And then they see those numbers and the importance and for funding for these veteran organizations.
Because that has been a problem for a couple of decades, hasn't it, Ben? Melissa, with the with the younger veterans not necessarily going to joining some of these groups.
Right. And some of the misconceptions about what veteran organizations do or what they're about, they are vital to our communities. Our VFW Post 2534 here in Wisconsin Rapids does so much good for our community. And they understand that a lot of these younger veterans, they have families, they have kids in soccer, they have, you know, kids in ballet classes, they're busy, but they can also come to the meetings by Zoom. You know, that's one great thing that came out of the pandemic. We have a lot more variety of ways that people can be, you know, participate in these organizations.
That's so important if you're especially in a rural area, Melissa, and you just if you just can't get there. But I think your initial point that if you join your local VFW or your local group and you get your name on the list, when they want to lobby Congress for something, they can see this is our membership list.
Right. Right. And that matters. And that makes that is something that they can look back on and stand on. And so that airs on Tuesdays from 5 to 6. We're doing a veteran series first. Next, I hope to do interviews with our first responders. So police, firefighters, EMTs, potentially like doctors and nurses, people who are on the front lines of helping keep our community safe, why they joined, why they're doing the job they're doing. So it's our voices telling stories in our community. And then
please keep going. I was going to ask you about the process, but please keep going.
Well, then I want to share that on Thursdays is Community Stories Junior.
Ooh.
So this focuses on our young people. And the first episode, the pilot episode, I started with an interview with the Nakusa Middle School principal, Jason Julius, mm-hmm. who is just really excited about the program that Mr. Benjamin Peters, one of the technology teachers at the in the district, is working on. They have a one-to-one ratio of students to 3D printers in this technology classroom. And so these students are learning how to use a 3D printer starting at sixth grade.
Wow.
That's so cool.
That is cool.
Yes. So they design a product one day and then they print it the next day. And then what Mr. Peters is doing is he's collaborating with local businesses and getting these young people to talking with business leaders in our area of what products can you design for our business, or what products does the business need that the students can design.
Wow.
So they're doing paperweights, they're doing, you know, tags for office building rooms. I mean, you know, these are an introduction into manufacturing for young people.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Engineering. And if they continue with this program all the way through, you know, starting in middle school, all the way through high school, they can potentially graduate high school with a degree. With a ready to go, they're ready to start a job in an engineering.
There you go.
Well, and it just seems like a great way to develop entrepreneurs too, mm-hmm. and encourage kids to, you know, think a little bit more outside the box.
And that's what Mr. Julius, the principal, was talking about. Like, this is just getting them to think about what they like, what they want to do, and having exposure to all of these different things, which is why STEAM is so important in our classrooms. Mm-hmm. You know, the science, math, technology,
right.
arts, education.
Yeah.
And then at the end of Community Stories Junior is a special little tale time story that's is focusing on Kevin the Cat right now. But it's Adventures with Our Animal Friends. So it's an original story that I wrote that it's like kind of an old time radio drama type story with sound effects and music. And it follows a cat that I rescued named Kevin. And his adventures. So it's a four kids radio hour on Thursdays from 5 to 6.
Oh, that is awesome, Melissa. If people can find it on the web, correct? If they
yes.
if they can't listen to terrestrial radio, they can hear all these episodes on the web.
Absolutely, they're available on our civicmedia.us website. Go to shows, look for Community Stories, and once you click into the page, you'll find the different the Community Stories and Community Stories Junior.
I can't wait. I want to know more about Kevin the Cat.
I want to be part of the story. I want to read something. Be like I want to be Kevin the Cat.
Next time you need
maybe
voices,
I'll call on you.
Next time you need voices, we're there for you.
Yeah.
Melissa Kay from WFHR and behind Community Stories. Check it out at civicmedia.us. Thank you so much, Melissa. Really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, too. Appreciate it.
News is coming up next. When we return, Dan Schaefer will be here from the Recombobulation area. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
From the center, WRCE. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time for a special edition of the show. We'll look at Black Friday deals and look back at a couple of great interviews of the year. Join us then.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
James Rundy.
I decided to throw off all my wild and crazy short film ways and make a straight up documentary about my uncle. He was one of the small time dairy farmers across the state that were kind of the backbone and why we got our state's name, America's Dairyland.
It was called The Last Milk. Have you ever milked a cow?
Oh, yeah.
I'm curious, but I'm scared to do it because I'm worried I might like it.
All right. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.